This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram Live. Here for you, here for your pets. Anything you want to ask about, now's the time to do it because free advice, you can't beat free, I'm telling you. So how to get a hold of me, very easy. If you're here on Instagram, you just have to type away. I'm waving, I'm trying to say hello to everybody. And here on Pet Life Radio, you can either just, again, join us if you're here live, or 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. And anyway, we'd love to hear from you. As you know, I love to answer your questions. I had a couple of people I spoke to during the week, asked them to call in so everybody can benefit from this. And I have Justin, I have a question right now. Can you start giving puppies or young adult dogs hip supplements? So the question is, this is sort of along the lines of probiotics. There are many that say, you know what, wait until there's a problem and use the probiotics if your pet's having a problem. Others say, there's no downside to a probiotic. It's good for gut health. It balances things. You know, if it was something that was detrimental, then to do it just for the heck of it may not be wise, but something that is okay. So let's talk about the hip supplements. Most of them, they're chondroitin. They are glucosamine, MSM, et cetera. My thought is this, that is there a downside to using these if the pet hasn't developed a problem yet? Might it be preventive in some way, shape, or form, especially with large breeds that are known to have hip problems or problems with arthritis? So my feeling is that since there's really no downside, that it wouldn't bother me if you did it. I think that I started doing research on something called antioxidants. I'm sure you're familiar with antioxidants. It's going back, I don't know, 30 years ago. And I was so impressed with the data that was out there and how still little was known, but how much was to be learned. But the early data was very impressive. I wrote an article for the Veterinary Antioxidants because of the fact that I was over. I started taking antioxidants, and I've been taking antioxidants now for about 30 years. Now, is it making a difference? I have no idea. Could it be just genetic? Could it be, you know, just me? But I feel great. Do I want to stop? I don't want to take any chances. I'm going with them. So I've been taking them ever since. CoQ10, great, and others, you know, a lot of in my multivitamin. So my feeling is that if it's not going to hurt, and if you need it, I can't say you need it, but it won't hurt. So if it makes you feel better to try something, it's a little bit, you know, it's not the accepted scientific stuff, but it's not going to hurt, then, you know, go ahead. And, you know, start small amount. You know, you don't have to give, you know, 1500 milligrams of glucosamine. Give 250 or 500. If it makes you feel better, then it's worth it. If it would make you feel better to know that you might be giving your pet something, especially if it's a large breed that you know is going to most likely have some degree of arthritis later on, whether it's hip dysplasia, whether it's elbows, large breeds, that's what happens to large breeds a lot of times. So as a preventive, it would be okay. I already had given Lulu her Bravecto before I heard you talk about heartworms. I have 2 months left before it's due again. Since it doesn't have mosquito protection, what can I do for this time? So here is my thought about that. For now, you can get a product that, well, first of all, if it makes you feel better, get a heartworm test. Because if you have two doses left, then if it's the 12 week, then you're looking at what, two doses, that's 24 weeks. That's a long time, 6 months. So then what you can do is for now, get a once a month heartworm prevention like Interceptor or HeartGuard, both very effective, and just give two for now. But if it's the Bravecto 12 week, then I would say do that. And then you'll get on pace for the next time. Then you can get something that has the Trio, Simparica Trio, or the NexGard Plus, or the Credelio Plus. Now, if it's once a month Bravecto, then you can just wait it out. 2 months is not going to make a difference. Just make sure that you're heartworm negative now. If you're heartworm negative now, and if a dog was bitten, that's why when you are dealing with heartworm prevention in areas where heartworm is a problem, if you have a dog 5 months of age or less, you don't even have to test them. Just start preventive. Because even if they were bitten by the mosquito the day they were born, there'll be no larva left yet. So you can just go ahead and start prevention. Therefore, if you test now and you're going to start in 2 months because you have two doses of 1 month Bravecto left, then just wait till you're done. And then on the when you start reordering, instead of getting Bravecto, get one of the trios, the Plus NexGard Plus Credelio Plus or Simparica Trio, and then you can take care of both at the same time. So hope that answers your question. If you have any questions, of course, you can get back to me. Now, we also don't have, again, I'm not saying don't do it because I am doing it with my dogs as well. Years ago, I think I told the story that I had one of the first patients that had heartworm disease in a dog that was born in and never left Southern California. So tells you right there, it does happen. Very rare. The mosquito they identified was one that they anticipated will ultimately be a problem here in the West. And even though we have a much drier climate, these mosquitoes have adapted to our temperature and the drier climates and will be a problem. It was predicted 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that within 10 or 15 years, which is now, we are going to have an endemic heartworm problem as well. Has it happened yet? No. Good. But it's on the rise. We're seeing more and more cases. So my recommendation is, since there's no downside and the heartworm preventives are very safe, and you're already giving something monthly for flea and tick, get the ones for heartworm prevention as well. But you want to test first because you don't want to use a prevention if they're already positive. And sometimes you don't know if they're positive. So I would go get the heartworm test and go from there. If you have any questions more, give me a holler. Steve, our Lincoln won't jump into our car. He's pretty heavy. Suggestions. Well, yeah, get him to lose weight. Very simple. Or work on your muscles and you can pick him up to get him in the car. Now, the question really is he not going in the car because he doesn't want to go in the car? Or he really wants to, but he just can't make the jump. So you can tell from their behavior. If he's going up to that car, like, oh, but he just can't make it, then obviously he needs to lose a little weight. Or you can get one of those little steps like people do for their beds. Dogs don't want to get up on the bed. So they get those little staircases or you get a little ramp to help him up in the car, then that's okay as well. If, however, the issue is not that he can't, but he doesn't want to, now you have to, okay, what about that car is preventing him from wanting to get in the car? And is it because it's a bad negative association? Is it because every time he goes in the car, he's coming to see me, the vet? Or, you know, what is it that is causing that hesitancy? So you want to do for that is you want to retrain him about the car. You want to make it fun. You want to make it positive, positive reward. Get him in the car, start the engine, count to 10, turn the engine off, get him out of the car, big hug, big kisses, big treat, and go back in the house. And do that for a couple of days. And then every time you do it, a little 10 more seconds in the car. Then when he seems like he's a little bit more comfortable, knowing that, oh my God, every time I get in this car, I'm getting a treat. This is great. Then maybe back out of the driveway and then back in the driveway. And you just slowly increase the amount of time in the car and the distance traveled. Always make it fun. Always make it positive. No groomer, no vets, just dog park, fun, going to the market, whatever it is. Always make it a positive experience. And you get to the point where hopefully he will enjoy getting into the car. Again, if it's the weight, we've got to get him to lose weight. Another one. Hey, I got a question from New York Yankee. Is there a dog vitamin that I can recommend to my 16-year-old Jack Russell Terrier since she is eating and living boiled chicken and potatoes? Doesn't want dog food. Well, if you're giving her chicken and potatoes, why would she want dog food? Yeah, there are a lot of supplements out there. This is when we talk about supplements where, two instances, you said, number one, age. So I would definitely look for a really good vitamin supplement. And there are. I have one, for example, in my line, Performance by Dr. Jeff called Body Boost. It's a really good multivitamin mineral supplement. There are some others out there that are also very, very good. So the two things here, number one, age. So I think that antioxidants would be wise. Remember, we talked about a couple of weeks back, leap years. I would definitely consider that. That's a great supplement. Just like it was funny, when I was researching about antioxidants for my article, I started taking antioxidants. With leap years, with this supplement that helps build up your body's old NAD plus for slowing down the aging process, increasing memory and all that, I said, wow, this is good stuff. And I found a human version of it that is an NAD booster. It helps the body produce more NAD, helps increasing getting rid of the bad cells, keeping the good cells, reestablishing a population of good cells. And I thought, you know what? What's the downside? Look, by the fact that I remember taking it every day now, already I think it's working. So anyway, is something that I recommend. So yes, older dogs, dogs that are infirm, dogs that are on home-cooked diets. A lot of us want to be a little more natural. We want to make our own diets at home, which is fine. But if you look at ingredients of dog foods, And yes, there's an argument, well, because the way they make it, the processing, they destroy a lot of the vitamins that are naturally there. All they're doing is they have to put them back in. I get that. But we don't really know how to truly balance. There's some veterinary schools that will offer a service. They will help you with a home-cooked diet to actually balance them out, make sure they're getting all the nutrients. That's great. You talk to a board-certified veterinary nutritionist, and there's a fee, of course, and they help you come up with a really great menu, a formula for your pets to keep them well-balanced. Well, if you don't want to do that, give them a multi. So I would 100% say yes to the multivitamin. I think it's a good idea because the diet, getting only some chicken and potatoes, that probably is not going to meet all the needs and demands. So supplement-wise, for a 16-year-old dog, it would be a glucosamine supplement. It would be a multivitamin supplement, an antioxidant supplement, and also something like a leap years to help the brain, consider it a brain food. All right. Loving boiled chicken and potatoes. Yes, I'm glad. No, that's good. It's what we need. He's not heavy. He's afraid. Ah, okay. Once in, he loves it. All right. Beth, there may be something going on there with the actual jump. I would be looking at hips or lower back and seeing if the issue is the motion of dogs, for example, that have lumbosacral instability. We call it cauda equina syndrome. Their hesitancy is going upstairs, jumping up into the car, jumping up, we say up, up, you know, up onto the bed. But getting down is not a problem. It's when the back, the spine is stretched out and the back legs are being pushed way back. That's what puts pressure on that area. So something to consider that as well. We can take x-rays and see what the if there is any lumbosacral instability. But the key there is if he really likes the car, but is afraid getting into the car, I'm concerned that there may be something painful, just the act of jumping into the car. So anyway, to be continued. At what age does a Frenchie, stop being cute, oh no, I'm just kidding. At what age does a Frenchie become a senior dog? And what signs I look for to let me know it has started? Well, Frenchie's any dog. I consider large breed dogs seniors at around 7. And I consider that the smaller breeds, it's usually 8. Now, they didn't read the book. So I still look at it as an individual idea. Like every patient is an individual patient. So I look at other factors as well. For example, their mobility, their energy, their appetite, their stool. If they're starting to slow down a lot, I'm going to say, you know what? We should do a blood test, take an x-ray, et cetera, just to check them out. If all equal, all things being equal, for me, a 7-year-old dog, large, medium to large breed dog and above is senior. And for small breeds and cats, it's usually 8. And by that, I mean, that's when they can come into me totally perfect, and I'm still going to want to do a physical, like bloods, urine, an x-ray. But I'm not one of those. We're going to talk about this in the second part of the show. It's just something that's been bugging me, boiling my blood. So we're going to talk about that. But that, for me, is when it becomes an annual event. Prior to that, no. Unless, of course, it's a problem. But if they're acting fine, eating fine, stools are normal, energy, all is good, then I would say, okay, now it's time to start making some changes in lifestyle, getting some lab work, evaluating them more clearly, closely, and that's what it is. So it's so for Frenchie, if it's a big Frenchie, maybe 7. If it's a small Frenchie, 7.5, 8. It's not a textbook thing. It's just a gut feeling that I have. All right. While you guys are getting the courage to ask some questions, we're going to break here because it's that time in our show here on Pet Life Radio. So don't go away. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Hear that, Mark? 2 minutes. And we'll be back after these short messages. Don't go away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back on live here. We're just talking about travel making sure that when you make your arrangements, you make your reservations, and you're going to be traveling with a pet, that you make sure that the pet-friendly hotels, Pets on Airways, you know what? There are breed restrictions, especially during the summer. A lot of the brachycephalics, the pushed-in faces, they don't want to fly them, certainly not underneath. And then if they're not a service dog, you can't get them in the cabin unless they're a certain size. I mean, just make your arrangements. More information you have, the better. The more information you give, the better. Because you don't want to show up at that hotel, that pet-friendly hotel, only to find out that your 65-pound dog is 25 pounds over the weight limit that they allow. So it is just something that you just better be precautious. Make sure when you travel, you have all their meds, you have paperwork, you have all the data, all their vaccine history, their data. You never know when you're going to need it. Pictures. Take pictures of your pet in case they get lost and you have to, you know, post them. Just have medication. Always pack more medication than you're going to need in case there's a delay. So, you know, kind of sit back and plan ahead. Make sure, try to think of everything. And that's what'll help. Now, I touched upon this before the break, and I've seen a lot of this, and it really, really bugs me. And that is that, and these two things go together. Don't be afraid to get second opinions. There are a lot of outfits out there, unfortunately, more than I would like to think, that seem to thrive on getting data, collecting information that is totally not necessary. And, you know, again, I can't say it's about the quality of veterinary care. I can't say it's about the place that they're at and what they're advised to do. I will tell you that most of what I'm going to be talking about, and I am talking about, is corporate. These are corporate practices. And I'm amazed. I had a client come in with a just shy of 2-year-old, gorgeous, gorgeous cat. And I was her second opinion. And she was smart enough, the owner, of course. Well, the cat's always smart. But the owner was smart enough to question what she was being told. And that is when she went to these one of these new players out there. There are a number of them popping up, very automated, maybe good for some millennials. They offer free, there's a monthly fee, or maybe it's a joining annual fee, and you get unlimited free exams. Oh my God, what a godsend. Unlimited free exams. How great. And yet, what I've been told and I've seen personally is that you can't get out of there for less than $1,000. Oh, the exam was free, but boy, are they going to catch you for everything else. So the reason why this woman came into me with this gorgeous, less than 2-year-old cat was because she was there and she was told, oh my God, these teeth are terrible. We need to get some blood work. We need to clean these teeth like today. I'm so glad that she had the sense to think, a 2-year-old cat? She's had, I've had cats before. I didn't clean their teeth until they were 6, 7, 8. Now that may, who knows? But I looked in the mouth. I would love for all my patients to have mouths like this cat did. Absolutely perfect. And it just burned me up. It's almost as if, because these places, if you don't care who you see as a veterinarian, you don't care. It's like going to a pediatrician office with, you know, 16 doctors, and you don't care. Whoever you see is fine. Or do you want to build a relationship? Do you want to be like a Marcus Welby? Do you want to have that doctor that you can count on, that you know, that knows you, that you're not reinventing the wheel every time you go in? Then these places are not for you. And I'm telling you, I saw a very good client of mine. They were requesting records to one of these such places. And I called them as a convenience. I don't have an ego. I don't care. If you don't want to come see me, don't. Don't. That's fine. But if for whatever reason it didn't work out for us, then I am happy to refer you to someone who I would actually take my pets to if I was unavailable or for some reason couldn't see them. I have a list of easily 6, 7 vets in the city that I really like and I really trust. These places are not one of them. So I just wanted to tell him, look, if you want to go someplace else, you know, if I'm inconvenienced since I moved to Westwood, I'm okay with that. No problem. Let me refer you to someone on your side of town. He goes, Doc, stop right there. You don't even have to go there. I have been there 3 times. You cannot get out of the door for less than $1,000. And I'm talking stuff that is, I even said to them, I recently had blood work. Nope, but we should take it again. They want your money. Again, I'm like a gatekeeper here because it annoys me so much. I don't care expense. All right. But don't take advantage. It's like going to that mechanic, right? That listens to your little car that has whatever problem, a noise. And besides, they're trying to talk you into a complete engine overhaul rebuild on your 2-year-old car with 20,000 miles. Your question is, that doesn't seem right. The car's running fine. It's just annoying. Well, so you go someplace else within literally there with the hood open, they make a little adjustment and the noise is gone. So this is what's happening in my world. I am not happy about it. I actually despise it, but it's going on and I'm seeing it everywhere. They don't care. It's, my opinion here is not about the veterinarian, him or herself. I think it's what they are taught to do, and it is corporate. The bottom line when it comes to corporate medicine, and this is me firsthand, when I sold to VCA, this is exactly what happened to me. And they were on my case. They didn't want to double my prices. They want to triple my prices. I was in the West Side. You've been to my old place, right? Right there on Venice Boulevard. I was literally, there's A, B, and C ratings. And I was in the A area, but many of my prices were like B minus C plus. And I was very happy. My clients were very happy. And they trusted me. And yet they wanted me to triple some of my prices. Guys, I'm not going to do that. I know my client, I know what they want. I know what they can afford. And I'm going to work with their budgets. It's very simple. It's not that way anymore. And so buyer beware. Buyer, ask questions. Don't be afraid to challenge. If something just doesn't feel right, guess what? It probably isn't. Go with your better judgment. Go with your ideas. Go with your sanity. And if you just say, you know what? I'm going to put it on hold. I'm going to go, let me sleep on it. Let me talk to my spouse, whatever it is, but we'll get back to you and go someplace else. It just annoys me. And you could see the dollar signs in there. And I don't know whether they're getting paid on salary. I don't know if they're getting a percentage. I know most of them now are really, I think, salary with bonuses based on production, but they are not in it just for looking out for only you and your pet. And I will be bold enough to say that. So you heard it from me first. So if you are thinking about these places, and I'm not going to give you the names, but I know many of you know who I'm talking about. And if you see it's a hospital that is corporate, or you see one on every corner now, and they're popping up and they look really cool. They're really update, modern. They're really cool. And again, you're not going to get the same vet every time. These veterinarians are coming out working 2-3 days a week. They're alternating. They're going to different locations. So for some of you, that's what you want. That's great. You got the money for convenience. Oh my God, it is great. 100%. You're probably not going to wait as long to see the doctor there that you will to wait to see me. But I think it's going to be a different experience after that. And then next time you go in, you thought you had a great experience. All of a sudden, it's a different doctor. So anyway, let me see. I rant. Boy, I love to rant. I really do. They ran out of my vegan dog food until further notice, and I need to add nutrients. Is there a form that will cover all the nutrients like commercial food has? So again, I would say there are a number of really good multivitamin mineral supplements. Of course, as I mentioned, I have Body Boost. If you want to get performance by Dr. Jeff, certainly not the only one. If you want to get something more natural, there's some really good, I don't know where you are, but there's a store that I really like. It is in West LA, Santa Monica area. It's called Yours Naturally. And it's either Naturally Yours or I never remember, but it's either Yours Naturally or Naturally Yours. Bethany, if you remember what it is, it's Neil's place, Neil's old place, but it's right next to the Trader Joe's. And they have really great natural stuff. They have multivitamin supplements. So that might fit your philosophy better, then for sure go for it. All right. Okay. And the cannabinoids, they just take the symptoms, but in their iPad, they say, oh, yes, that is true. I forgot about that. Yeah. What they do is everything is automated. So they put in like vomiting and diarrhea 3 days. And then it comes up with all the things they have to do. That's right. As I said, a monkey can work there. All they got to do is put down the symptoms and they tell you all the tests they need. No. As you know, my philosophy, and that is, I have a slide during a lecture. I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but my NAD plus supplement hasn't kicked in all the way yet. So I may not remember if I told you recently or not, but my slide was, I'm not impressed by the veterinarian who runs every test in the book and gives me the right answer. I am, however, impressed by the veterinarian who can't run every test in the book, but still gives you the right answer. That's a vet who actually took it all in, did a thorough physical, got all the history down and just started ruling things out based on, well, it can't be that because he's doing X, Y, Z, or it could be this. And by instead of having a list of differentials of 10 different possibilities, it's down to 3. And now you test for the 3. So I know it drives me nuts. And great, great point. Okay. I have a crazy question that no vet can answer. My cat is a year old and has been chewing and kind of like swallowing the tip of his tail before he goes to sleep. Since I was a baby, he was a something. Here's the thing. It is weird. I would love to see a video of it. Sometimes cats like to groom. Believe it or not, if a person had a quirk, all right, and they just did that quirk, there's no medical reason for it. There's no medical reason for someone to suck their thumb or how about fingernails? What is it? They say it's stress, it's anxiety. So can a cat or any animal have a quirk that they do? They're just sucking on their tail. And since he's a baby, think about this one. You're hugging a cat, you're petting him, he's purring, right? And then they start their kneading, right? They're kneading on the chest. And what happens when they knead? They start to salivate. Well, is there anything more that brings them back to nursing when they were little kittens than that? So it's all that behavior. It's a soothing. It just makes them feel good. It brings them back to a very, very positive time. So sucking on the tail. Now, that's why I said I want to see video of the tail or a picture of the tail. If the tail is now scabby and sore, right, and they're eating out the hair, then yes, I'd be thinking about something more medical. But if it's just a sucking and but not damaging the tail, then I think it's more emotional, and that'll be. Doc, I have two Yorkies of 1.5 years old. 3 weeks ago, they started with soft stool, then diarrhea with blood a few moments. Vet ran test, didn't show anything. Okay, so again, when you see a dog, that's why I always ask. And sometimes on my video calls with AirVet, seeing an animal in motion. If a picture's worth 1,000, this is worth 10,000, 100,000 words. So they're acting totally fine. And they're 1.5 years old. It's happening to both of them. So it's unlikely a disease anyway. So what can they both have done? They eat things together. They're probably hanging out together. And they picked up, pardon my grandkids in the background, we got two of my grandkids this weekend. So that they got a hold of something, and that something wreaked some havoc. And so it started with diarrhea, you know, vomiting. And if it's persisting, it tells me they are still going after it. So whatever it was something they liked. They were drawn to it. They don't realize, unless it's immediate, the diarrhea and vomiting, which it usually isn't. If they liked it enough, they're going to keep going back to it. So what I would do is add a little fiber psyllium powder, maybe a little cooked oatmeal to their food. I would watch them like a hawk. Do not let them nibble on anything. If you bought them a new chew toy, a new anything, I would not let them have it. And what you want to do is just watch them. And if I'm right, if it's nothing serious, it's just what we call dietary indiscretion, then it's a good chance that in a few days, watching them carefully, adding the fiber, not letting them get a hold of anything else, that it will start to resolve. And I wouldn't panic too much. If not, get a hold of me. So he was a neonate bottle baby, and I can't get him to not to do that. Well, that is probably what it is. So that sucking, whatever it was, neonate bottle baby. So you got a nipple. You got the tip of a nipple. The closest thing he's got anatomically to it, a little thin nipple-y end, is the tail. The feet are too big, right? And that's all he can reach. His extremities, what does a cat have for extremities? They have their 4 feet. They got their tail. So that is probably what it's all about. And it's behavioral. And as long as he's not doing any damage, I'd leave him alone. Significant. They put them on antibiotic and they improved immediately 4 days after finishing the antibiotics. Symptoms are back. They're in the antibiotics, but with double the doses. So that is very important. So if it's both of them, it depends what antibiotic it was. They could have gotten some sort of intestinal infection from something they ate. I mean, the only thing that can pass back and forth is Giardia. Most other of the infections, unless they have a bacterial overgrowth, I'd put them on a probiotic as well, because there's no downside to it. And if it is some sort of gut imbalance, then I would say there's no downside to putting them on a probiotic on top of all of these other things they're doing. And how long was the first course of antibiotics? If it was only 7 days, 10 days, maybe I would put them on a 2 weeks or even a 3 week course. But if you're going to do antibiotics as well, I would do probiotics at the same time and also add the fiber and continue to watch them like a hawk that they don't get a hold of anything else. They're estimating farmer's dogs since babies. What are your thoughts on that? Look, to change the food to a gastrointestinal diet is not a bad idea. Is it something permanent? Has something changed with the farmer's dog? Maybe. Because remember, when you're dealing with things like farmer's dog, it's very natural. It's very good. My son was feeding his dogs, farmer's dog, well, one of them, and loved it, did great. They ended up starting to make their own because it was so expensive. But it is handmade. That means, again, I'm not there. I haven't seen how they make it. I don't see how much quality control they have, that each batch is exactly the same. When you get mass-produced food, we know that's the case. Because I've been to some of these factories. I've been to IAMS. I've been to the prescription diet, science diet factory in Kansas. It is like, first of all, you can eat off the floor. And everything is so exact. And it is so quality controlled. Farmer's Dog may be that way. I don't know. I've never been to the factory. But I know those places, Just Food for Dogs and Farmer's Dogs, they are sort of more natural. So I'm just wondering, maybe there was something snuck in there. I know that when I had my Food Optimum, every single batch we used to test and culture for bacteria. So maybe something did get in there. And again, that is a possible problem. All right. So I think we're at the end. Our pets deserve better. Yes, they do. Coughing its hairball a lot. What can that be? My dog is sneezing and coughing as if a hairball. Usually, and this is the last one before we have to say goodbye. Usually when a dog has that kind of cough, it's a tracheitis. I hate to use the term kennel cough because it is no longer just kennels. It is going to the dog park cough, going to daycare cough, going to the groomer cough, going to the vet cough, going to Third Street Promenade cough, going to the Grove cough. It is everywhere. So it sounds like a respiratory infection. It could be that new respiratory disease complex that's going around. So I would certainly treat with the antibiotics. I've had luck with doxycycline or Clavamox with that. Talk to your veterinarian. And maybe some sort of cough suppressant, depending on whether the cough is moist or dry. There's a difference of which med you want to use and see how that works. If that works, great, perfect. If not, let me know. All right, good. We're done. We're done. So thank you all for joining me here. A lot of you joined on. I'm so happy about that. I'm here next week. Edison's, the tail isn't scabby. And of course, the hair is much shorter. Okay. So yeah, I do think it's behavioral. I really do. You might want to try putting something on the tip of the tail. Right now, it's a satisfaction. It's a joy. It's that soothing. Get something like my Stop Bite spray or Chew Guard or Bitter Apple. Make a little mixture of cayenne and Tabasco and put it on the tip of the tail. Let it dry and see if he attacks it with the same vigor after that. Yeah, so do the royal and let me know. Get back to me and we'll go from there. All right. So anyway, I do appreciate you joining me here on Pet Life Radio. I see a lot of you joined on today. It makes me very happy. Any questions during the week, get a hold of me at just here on Instagram or on Pet Life Radio, just Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. Everything gets sent to me and I will follow up as needed. Also, if you need to talk to me, send me an email and I will give you my text information. All right, there we go. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week, everybody. My Life with Corgis, give me a holler directly and I will give you the information. All right, sounds good. Take care all. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.